It doesn't happen in your first year of marriage. It doesn't happen in your second year of marriage. Not your third, fourth, fifth. I could keep going because it takes so much communication and practice. And I feel like Michael and I are in our ninth year of marriage and we're getting to some really amazing things. And I know that we have more amazing things to come.
Let's do it.
All right. Hey there, and welcome to Marriage Talks, a real, authentic, and relatable podcast about how to thrive in your marriage.
Here you will find helpful information shaped by a biblical worldview on all things marriage related, sex, money, parenting, and so much more. Welcome to the show. We are Michael and Elizabeth. We are Michael and Elizabeth, and welcome to the show. Third time's the charm.
Yeah, we'll get it. We'll get it. I'm excited about today's topic. I know I say that every week, but I just feel like there's just always some nugget, some goodness in it. And I love it. Yeah. But I do want to say, before we get into it, the five myths about sex is, if you didn't know, we have a Patreon page, which is really awesome because it has perks for you if you want to join it. And it gets you more access to us and it helps further the ministry of Marriage Talks, which just means the world to us.
And we also want to remind you, if you listen to the show and you love it, go to your iTunes or Apple Podcasts, because they're transitioning. I always call it iTunes, and rate and review the Marriage Talks podcast. 5 stars, baby. It helps us to get sent to the top of the relationships and
just helps other
religious
people find
stuff.
Us.
Yeah, so that other people can find us more easily and we'll pop up on searches and all that stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah, thanks. I've been working on that for a few weeks.
I'm excited to be talking about five myths about sex because I feel like we have kind of run into funny situations with each one of these.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like when you've been married for, you know, almost a decade, you're bound to have some like funny stories. You know,
yeah,
anyways.
If you catch the YouTube version of this, I'm probably pretty red right now. Man, are these lights hot or something?
When you're with somebody for a long time, like, you're just going to have an awkward moment or two or a dozen or 20.
Yeah, for sure.
When it comes to having sex, it's just bound to happen.
Yeah, especially if one of those people is me. Even our first kiss has like, just laced with awkwardness.
My goodness. Yes. If you don't know about that, you need to go back after this episode and listen to Story About Us or our story.
Our story. Yeah.
That episode.
Catchy title.
Yeah. We break all the things down, which we have some funny moments, but yeah. That one was really fun to talk about.
Yeah. I think everybody likes their own story. I think ours is pretty good. It's nice and dynamic, and there's twists and turns and things you didn't expect.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the five myths of sex. And I know there's a lot of other ones, but these are just kind of the main ones that we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, and it's funny. If we were kind of doing some research on, like, what are people talking about or what are some other common things that we might need to address, and there's some really weird ones on the internet. Don't Google this.
Don't Google it.
And there's some really kind of dumb stuff. Like,
well, it's just like,
anybody believe
nope, not
that?
Gonna talk about that.
Yeah,
not gonna talk about that. Not gonna talk about that.
Yeah,
it got down into the weeds, and we're like, better not.
Better not do that. Yeah, and actually, we were a part of we are a part of a group called Podfest. It is one of the biggest podcast centric conferences. We went in March when it was live, and it's transitioned to virtual just like everything else is. And we were asked to be as part of like the speaker panel, and we were in the Sex Communicators mini conference, and there were some really funny things that came up, but it was just like kind of speaking about, well, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
When you talk about sex, but you're talking about it from like a biblical worldview,
it's a lot.
It's way
different
than your peers and the other people you might find in something like that. So it was just interesting navigating all that while we were going on with that. But we're going to be navigating that here on our podcast. So I think without delay, we've kind of strung you guys along enough. So we're going to get into number one.
Number one is, you can't talk. And I feel like if you haven't been with your spouse for a very long time and, you know, you just haven't had very many sexual encounters with them, we all just have like this mindset of like, oh, it's like the movies where like they don't talk and it's passion and they just know what the other person wants and nobody sweats. And oh, that should be another one. Sidebar, myth 1.5, you don't sweat. That's not true.
Yeah,
it's just so glamorous on movies and television shows is my point.
Yeah,
and so
I think in particular about boom, 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 boom,
boom. Well, yeah, because we just
it's like it's blue light and silhouettes, and yeah, that's not real.
If you don't know what that is from, it's Top Gun.
Yeah, but y'all knew. Come on,
I would hope so. Anyways, but so like you just think like, oh, we are not supposed to talk in when you're having sex with your spouse. And it's like, no, you can talk. You can talk and you can say appropriate things for what works for you and your spouse. Like that is individual. You know, I probably wouldn't strike up a conversation about, hey, how was your day?
Yeah.
You know,
hey, did the coffee this morning taste kind of bitter to you too?
And it probably wouldn't be good, like, sexy time conversation,
yeah.
But...
Yeah, keep it appropriate to the moment. And it can be not a distraction, but an enhancement, too. Because,
yeah,
like, say you know, there's times when you get uncomfortable and just like, hey, I'm uncomfortable. Let's kind of move around a little bit. That's fine.
Yeah.
You should say that rather than just kind of suffer through it silently.
Yeah. Like this position isn't working for me. Can we try something different? Like that is okay to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it that kind of helps to make the entire moment and the entire time together more beneficial for everybody if you're actually communicating needs.
Yeah.
Just like the day-to-day too, the non-sex stuff, like communication and kind of talking likes and dislikes and preferences is really helpful for like a smooth day. Same thing can be said for sexual encounter.
Yeah. And we did a whole episode about talking after you have sex. And it's titled, Let's Talk About Sex. So, you know, after you listen to our story after this episode, then you can listen to Let's Talk About Sex.
It's a lot of homework for this episode.
There will be a quiz. So, yeah. Myth number one is you can't talk. It's not true. You absolutely can talk. It's okay. We promise.
Yeah. And it's also okay to laugh too.
Yes.
Just make sure you laugh at the appropriate times.
Yes. We have, when we say that we've had, you know, many awkward occasions, we, you know, sometimes like for me, I am like super ticklish. And then sometimes like you know, it's just like, oh, all of a sudden I am just like busting out laughing and poor Michael's just trying to be smooth. And I'm like, I'm sorry. My like tickle factor is like through the roof right now.
Yeah.
And we laugh and it's okay. Like sometimes it kind of breaks the ice. Cause I think even when you're married, you still feel awkward if you try something new or if there's something that you just haven't done a whole lot when while you're having sex that you're like, you've been trying something new. You can feel like, oh, I just want to do it right or I don't want to disappoint. And sometimes laughing can just like ease the tension, you know, break the ice.
Yeah.
It's don't laugh at your spouse.
That's the delineation.
Yeah.
Right there.
Don't laugh at your spouse. But in the circumstance, if you're like both feeling super awkward and if you've been with your spouse long enough, I think you can tell, you know, it's okay to laugh. I mean, at least I think it's okay to laugh.
Yeah. As we're laughing right now, super awkwardly.
Yes.
All right. Myth about sex. Number two, it always has to happen at night. Again, you're looking at the Top Gun silhouettes and the white linens in the breeze and stuff like that. It's definitely way more common at night. That is for sure.
Yeah, and especially if you have kids.
Yeah. And that's the thing for the stage of life we're in right now is like you've got little munchkins running around all the time where that spontaneity during the day, there's no time for it. So on a normal day, that's just not going to happen. So of course, at night is the most common time of day for when we're getting intimate. That's sharing a lot of information.
Well, I think that's normal. I just think it's not like it has to happen at night. I just think that that's the most common time for a lot of people, a lot of married couples to have sex. You know, like you're saying, especially if it's just like you have little kids, spontaneously during the day is not going to happen. Now, if they're grandma and grandpas, that's a different story. You know, I think when you like, I think maybe more like when you go on vacation, like if you're going weekend getaway, you and your spouse, like it's okay for it to happen at any point during the day, you know, just in the appropriate place. But, yeah. But, you know, I just think sometimes we get like stuck in the routine and mindset of it only has to happen at night. And what we're saying is like, it's okay for it to happen at different times during the day. It doesn't, it's not bad.
Yeah. And this comes into play again with know your spouse well. So if you have a spouse who is a night owl and is a morning terror, you either want to, you got to tread carefully. So like if you'd be like, hey, what's up? You kind of do the little nudge, nudge in the morning and you get just like whacked in the face. Like it's possible. So
looks
just kind of
like it's not going to happen in the morning.
Yeah. So you might want to just kind of, I don't know. Try your luck once in a while, but
I think that's also a good opportunity to have a conversation with your spouse. Like if one spouse is a morning person and one's not, and the same person who is not a morning person is a night owl and the other is not, then that's we need to have a compromise because maybe the person who's a morning person isn't super thriving at nighttime with that, with having sex. And then the person who's a night owl and not a morning person isn't thriving with having morning sex. So I think there's a good compromise of, hey, I would really love for us to explore having sex more in the morning and balancing it out morning and night, because it's not just about what one person gets. It's about selflessly serving the other in that area.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good opportunity for a compromise and talking that through and communicating well.
That's a good point. Yeah, that way both parties are happy with what's going on, but nobody has to always give and nobody has to always take.
Yeah, for sure.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Myth number three. You can do whatever you want. This is not true. And let me tell you why. Because we all have some sort of baggage that we bring into our marriage. Good, bad, ugly. Some people might bring some really deep like sexual baggage where like they were abused or raped or something like that. There's going to be triggers in the bedroom. So you can't just come into your bedroom and just think that you can do whatever you want to your spouse. That's not how it works.
No, heck no.
That's also very selfish mindset. So like just a second ago, I was like, how can you selflessly serve your spouse? Sex is about selflessly serving your spouse. That's edifying to the Lord. That is the appropriate way to look at it. It's not like I'm going to get mine and then move on. That's a really, really bad mindset to have when it comes to sex. And it's going to be completely unfulfilling and won't last. So we all come into our marriage with some sort of baggage. And it could be baggage that has nothing to do with like your sex life, but it will affect your sex life. So maybe you had a parent who wasn't present, and that's going to cause some trust issues with your spouse. And then that's going to bleed into the bedroom. So you have to be very careful, because there could be some like physical triggers. There could be some like verbal triggers, and you just have to talk about those things and be very respectful of each other and ask like, is this okay? Is it okay if I do this? Especially if you have some sort of trauma in your past, because
You
don't want to scar such a beautiful thing as sex because you decided to be selfish about it. You want it to be an amazing experience and you really want to serve your spouse, and you got to be really careful that you don't just make it an experience that like the other person's like, oh, I don't want to do that again. Because if you scar it, they're not going to want to do it again.
Yeah, there's already so many barriers to a healthy sex life, just time, interest, distractions, that having something that was either painful or totally unwarranted or scary is just the absolute last thing you want. So that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there are definitely some things that should stay off limits. I know we kind of live in a culture that's pretty free with sex and a lot of different practices and stuff like that, but you know, just look at it from a biblical perspective. Like, is that is this thing that I've heard about edifying to the Lord? Is it going to bring my wife and I closer? And is it going to bring us closer in faith and all that stuff? So you've got to kind of consider that all as a package thing.
Yeah.
So it's not a free for all, because there's a lot of things that are, I guess, you know, popular that are going to do the opposite of bringing you together. It's going to do quite the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be really careful about that stuff. And like Michael said, if it's not edifying to the Lord, then it just has no place in the bedroom. It's not, it seems like it's going to be, ooh, this is new and exciting. But the reason why there are so many sexual trends is because none of them are fulfilling. Like if it's a hot new thing, okay, well, the hot new thing was the hot new thing like last Tuesday and now it's Friday. That only lasted a few days. Like the hot new thing in sex is not going to be something that is going to fulfill you long term. And so, but if you're selflessly serving your spouse and it's edifying to the Lord and is a biblical view on marriage, then it is going to be so fulfilling and so amazing. And it doesn't happen in your first year of marriage. It doesn't happen in your second year of marriage, not your third, fourth, fifth. I could keep going because it takes so much communication and practice. And I feel like Michael and I are in our ninth year of marriage and we're getting to some really amazing things. And I know that we have more amazing things to come in this area, as long as we continue to grow our relationship with Christ and our relationship together, and we are keeping God at the center of it, then that fruit will begin to show. But it just, I think there's, you know, another sidebar. There's such a myth like, oh, once you get married, it's going to be all great and everything like that. And yay. But it's not. You have to work at it, and practice makes perfect. You have to practice at it. So it's not like these five sexual tricks are going to make your sex life be great. It's like, that's not a one size fits all.
Yeah. Our lives are not Buzzsprout articles. Yeah. Not Buzzsprout.
Lives are not like Cosmopolitan articles.
I was gonna say BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
Buzzsprout is awesome. Yeah.
We like Buzzsprout. Yeah. BuzzFeed or Cosmopolitan or, you know, whatever the latest trendy site is. It takes the fulfilling sexual moments are when you've been with your spouse and you are honest and vulnerable with that person and you're selflessly serving them.
Yeah. And I think the opposite myth is also pretty common too. You just said that when you get married, everything's good and it's all awesome. I hear a lot more where once you get married, it's all downhill from there sexually. You're going to be, you know, every once in a great while, and it's going to be just out of like necessity or something like that, where it's not that.
It's not true.
It does not have to be that way. Like now, a lot of couples fall into that. That's true.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to.
Yeah. If you're selfish about it, then that's true. It will all fall downhill from there, because then it's just lust and like the latest trends and these things that aren't going to fulfill you. But when you're faithful to your spouse and you're digging into the word and you're selflessly serving them in that manner, then the Lord will be so gracious and there'll be some amazing things to come out of that. And it is not all downhill, because when you have a couple, and we know some couples, and I'm sure that they're in all aspects of their marriage, it has just grown and become more beautiful over time. Like in every area of your marriage, those things will become more and more amazing. And yeah, your sex life does not go downhill.
Yeah. Don't let it do it. Don't let it go downhill. All right. We're going to say our epic myth number four, because the myth is that it has to be like an epic, huge thing every time. And if you've been married for a while, you already know this is true. Like,
yeah.
There's times when it is epic, like, wow, that's one for the storybooks. I'll be remembering that forever.
Yeah.
And then there's just other times when it's great, but, you know, just not the same as that, like, first time honeymoon kind of thing. That's okay. It does not have to be some storybook thing every single encounter.
Yeah. It's not like sweep the stuff off the desk or the counter and like pick up your lady and put her on the counter and those passionate kiss. And then it's all like, psh, 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 fly fireworks, you know. It's just not going to happen every time, especially if you have kids. But there is such a thing as maintenance sex. And that is, I know it kind of like
sounds bad.
Yeah. So when I mention it, Michael's like, that sounds terrible. But it's like, Michael and I have talked about this for us. Like there's kind of like a frequency that we both need in order to like keep us, you know, connected and like keep our minds on each other. And like, it's a worshipful act and we both desire it, you know, and sometimes you're in a season for a month or two where it's like, I'm just so drained, kids, school, work, all this stuff, but you know, you need to connect. And so you're just going to say, look, tonight, we're just going to do it because we know we need it. And so it might start out as like okay, I guess we're going to go have sex. But it's like when you allow yourself to be present and to be focused and to really serve the other person, it can, you know, you might go through that and it just be maybe okay, which you're going to have sexual encounters with your spouse where it's just okay. That's normal.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can start out with a quote maintenance sex where you're like, okay, I'm not super into this because I'd rather sleep. But then you just allow yourself to be present. And like I said, you selflessly serve your spouse, then it can really blossom into some amazing things. And, you know, we are going to do an episode about, we've done one where the time we weren't having sex, but after you've had kids, like as a mom, as a female, it's the mindset of like turning certain roles off and then feeling sexy is really, really hard. And that's something that I've been working on like since we had Charlotte and she just turned 6. So for years, that has been a struggle for me. And it's not something that happens overnight. And so I think that having that maintenance sex where like we know we need to connect and we may not fully be invested in it, like right at the start of it, but if you just kind of surrender yourself, surrender your mind to each other, it can really be amazing if you allow it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that doesn't just go with the women who, you know, have the can't turn their brain off stuff. That's guys too. So you've got work, you've got expectations, you've got stress. It all comes into the bedroom too. So you got to surrender that too as guys.
Yeah, it's hard. It's very, very hard. And like I said, we're going to do a whole episode dedicated to that because I think it warrants its own time. But yeah, so that is myth number 4. Okay, myth number 5, our last myth.
The last one.
The last one is that sex just has to be for making babies.
Yeah, so this is like a myth that was very, very common 50 and 100 years ago, and Elizabeth put it on the list. I was like, I don't think we really need to cover that, do we? But it's one of those things where if you kind of dive in and talk to people who are like from some pretty conservative circles, that is still a widely held belief in some places. Mm-hmm. So it warranted a spot on the list.
Yeah, because let me tell you, if you read through Song of Solomon, which I haven't studied it, but I have read parts of it, that is spicy, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
It is spicy.
I was going to bring it up earlier, talking about just the whole purpose behind sex.
And yeah.
Like why it's so connecting.
Yes. Well, I mean, sex is a worshipful act. And I think that that's kind of like, huh, what do you mean? Like the Lord gave us the act of sex. It is like the closest human connection that we can have on earth. And it's amazing. And and this is something that I feel like why for Michael and I, as we grow closer to each other and closer in our relationship with the Lord, it changes everything. And for being intimate together, it has really changed that in such an amazing way. And so it becomes a worshipful act because it's designed by God and it's being done in such a manner that is edifying to God and that it's done biblically. You know, and so when you're doing that, that's a worshipful act. And we are serving each other selflessly in that. And that brings us joy individually. Like when we are serving each other, that brings us joy. And when you get to that place in your marriage, it's really incredible. And so it's not just for like, all right, time to make a baby, so let's get to it. Like, that is a byproduct of having sex, but that is not the main purpose. Like, that is not the only purpose of having sex. It's just it's just not.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why it feels the way it does. It's just this beautiful thing that was created for us to enjoy. And it does, like, it, whenever you're finished with everything, it's like, it feels amazing to be close to that partner. So there's a reason for that. And it was created that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is our fifth myth about sex.
Fifth myth
about sex. And I'm sure that we could have gone on to other ones, but, you know, we wanted to try and keep it concise,
yeah.
Not get into too many.
A lot of trap doors when you talk about this stuff.
yeah. But, you know, our challenge, so we always do a challenge, and the point of these is just to get you to think, and we'd like, I do these myself. Like, I know that I write them, but I sit there and think like, okay, what traps am I falling into, or how is my communication suffered? Or, you know, every week when I write these, I'm like, okay, how can I apply that to myself? And, you know, if you're buying into one of these myths about sex, like, think about it. Do you believe in the myth of you can't talk, or it has to happen at night, or you can do whatever you want, or it has to be epic every time, or it's just for making a baby? You know, if you fall into one of those myths, you're like, oh yeah, I kind of believed that, then maybe bring that, like, my encouragement would be to bring that myth to the Lord and say, help me to change this so that I can grow closer to my spouse, and that we can grow closer intimately and have a more successful and deeper connection. Because I think when we start to believe things, myths that are worldly based, then it really drives a wedge between you and your spouse. And so that's really the purpose of these challenges, is to get your mind thinking, to kind of get your heart stirring about whatever the topic might be, and specifically today about sex. And if you believe one of these myths, you know, like I said, bring it before the Lord, but then also talk to your spouse about it.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
That's it. I know that, like, when it comes to sex, we're like, oh, I don't want to talk about it, I feel weird. But it's been so freeing for Michael and I. Really, really freeing when we sit down and we talk about things, and we talk about, like, you know, that one was really great, or like, that one, I didn't like that so much. Can we maybe not do that again?
Also, think about this. If you've got some issues that you're not talking about in this subject between you and your spouse, it's going to have some really big effects on your marriage and closeness for potentially years on end. So the last thing you want to do is realize some of your best years of, like, 10 years straight, you guys barely connected at all. Or when you did, it was just kind of, you know, not very much effort or something like that. You could be leaving a lot on the table if you're not talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
And kind of creating conversations around it. So we really encourage y'all to have conversations about this, and just lay it on the table. Pray about it too.
Yeah, it's good. So with that said, thank you guys so much for listening, coming week after week. And, you know, if you have any questions about, you know, what we talk about or today's episode, you know, you can find our contact information in the show notes. Also, if you have a topic that you want us to talk about, or a question you want us to discuss on the podcast, please feel free to reach out to us. We have addressed several listener questions. We never reveal at all who asks the question, because we want to respect you and your privacy. But if you want us to talk about anything, please send us an email or find us on Instagram. We're here for you. So thanks, guys.
Yeah. We'll see you next week.
Bye.